Would you pray with me? Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Alleluia. As Marilyn pointed out, our psalm today is a lament, which is kind of a buzzkill for a Pride weekend. So when I saw this, I was like, well, yeah, but a lamentation is a prayer or an exhortation of grief and sorrow. And I have to say that there's a lot of grief and sorrow in our community, the broad community, certainly, but within the LGBT community specifically. Because Pride is usually, you know, fun, festivities, fabulousness, but there's a lot of pain and grief and sorrow under that fun, festivities, and fabulousness. So I'm just going to walk through this psalm a little bit, verse by verse. There's only 6 verses, so don't get nervous. And kind of give you some perspective about this psalm and also the hope at the end. The first verse says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Did you know that 60% of lesbian, gay, and bisexual youth felt homeless for over 2 weeks? Compared to 26% of their straight peers, according to a Center of Disease Control survey in 2015. 60%, 2 weeks or more, feeling hopeless. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Lesbian, gay, bisexual youth, from rejecting homes, meaning homes with a faith or culture that is rejecting of lesbian, gay, bisexual life, those youth in those homes are 8 times more likely to attempt suicide than their non-rejected peers. How long will you hide your face from me forever? How long must I bear pain in my soul? 40% of transgender adults have attempted suicide, and 92% of those attempted suicide before the age of 25. How long must I bear pain in my soul? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? In case you didn't know, there was no Pride proclamation from the White House this year. There have been for several years in the past. And also last week, a group of progressive activists were kicked out of the Southern Baptist Convention's big meeting that was in Phoenix last week. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Yesterday, several folks from this church and a lot of other churches were at the Pride Festival in downtown Grand Rapids yesterday. And one of the things that we did that apparently started last year was give out free hugs. And it was an amazing experience to be hugged and give hugs to so many people. Because I have to say, when I was a kid, kind of struggling with who I was, that I was afraid to touch anyone. I was definitely afraid to hug anyone, especially if they were female, because I thought somehow people would figure it out. And growing up in the late 70s, there wasn't a lot of the resources that we have today. There wasn't a hotline, there wasn't GLSEN, there wasn't GSAs, Gay Straight Alliances in the schools. So to hug somebody, there was a lot of fear, there was a lot of shame. There was a lot, so I just wouldn't do it. So yesterday, to hug all those people was so awesome. And there were some folks, I have to say, when I gave them a hug, I could feel them relax just a little bit. Sometimes there's more ministry in not using words than there is in all the words in the world. Sometimes that hug is Christ speaking to us in the moment. And so the next verse of this psalm is, give light to my eyes or I will sleep the sleep of death. Because the psalmist is afraid that all this longing is going to kill them. For them, death, their death means that God loses. Because their faith is in God, and their faith is God is life. And so if they die, God loses. And then their enemies will be singing hallelujah. Because like, yeah, see, you're God. What's your God? Nothing, because you're dead. But I want to focus just on that phrase, give light to my eyes. Now, the literal meaning of this, of course, is that one is alive. When we have light in our eyes, we are generally alive. But there's other things that bring light to our eyes. Perhaps a disco ball. Perhaps feeling fully human, finally. Perhaps seeing a rainbow flag on a church in an area of what's mostly conservative. Perhaps it's just being loved for who we are with no strings attached. Those things can bring light to our eyes. Last year, I was fortunate to attend the Metropolitan Community Church General Conference that they have every 3 years. It's kind of like the UCC's General Synod. It's the big denominational meeting. And the worship services they had were all over the place. One was, you know, high church with serious music and liturgical dancers. And one was completely all Broadway songs with a praise band and a small choir. And one, it was Wednesday morning, it's 9 a.m., and they have all this stuff cleared out of this giant convention hall. And it was a rave. It was a dance party at 9 o'clock in the morning. And it was a worship service. And I have to say, every time I think about that, it brings light to my eyes. It was so amazing. We were just dancing, whether we could dance, whether we had no moves, but we were up there and we were moving. And it brought light to our eyes. And especially it was moving because it was the day after the police shootings in Dallas last summer. So there was a bit of a pall over the whole gathering. But we knew that we believe in a living God. And so, yeah, we got up and we danced. And it brought light to our eyes. If you boil down the Gospels, Jesus is the light of the world. I mean, that's like in 25 words or less. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus brings light to our eyes by preaching and living acceptance and love and grace. So Jesus brings light to our eyes. What brings light to your eyes? What brings that smile to your face? What makes you stand up a little straighter and glow a little bit? What sets your spirit on fire? I have two nuggets, bullet points, whatever you want to call them, that might help to bring light to ourselves and to other people. And the first one is a meme that's been floating around Facebook for a while, and apparently I've posted it twice in the last couple months because apparently I like it. And I've paraphrased it just a little bit. Stick with the people who pull the fabulousness out of you and not the madness. If you stick with the people who make the light come into your eyes with no strings, no conditions, stick with them. Hopefully they're here with us, those folks who bring the light to your eyes without condition. And the other thing is quit whining, start dancing. When you look at this psalm, I mean, it's so easy to get stuck in those first four verses. How long, oh Lord, how long? I mean, I suffer with depression, I get it. It's easy to get caught in that dark place and you just don't see a way out. How long, how long? But sometimes you just have to get up, quit whining, and dance. Either dance by yourself or dance with someone else. Because when you dance with someone else, chances are it gets contagious. I mean, yesterday it was hard not to dance at the table with the music. It's like, yeah, I don't have moves, but that's okay. So quit whining and start dancing. And so what I want to say about that, in reference to the statistics I mentioned earlier, there's places that have been doing great work to try to counter some of these statistics. The Trevor Project is a a place where you can go if you're LGBT youth and you're struggling with suicide and bullying. They're there. They're there to help. There's a trans lifeline for folks who are transgender that's staffed by transgender folks who get it. They know what it's like. They've been there. They understand the struggles. And that group that I mentioned that got kicked out of the Southern Baptist Convention this week is called Faith in America. And they have a project called Save Your, and they spell it little y, big O, U, R. So it looks like Save Our Children, but it's Save Your Children. That's going across the country to talk to folks in religious denominations that have these messages of hate and shame around LGBT. And so they went to the Southern Baptist Convention to talk to folks, and they actually did talk to folks for one of the days, and they made some great connections, and they talked to these delegates, and they said, hey, you know what? Your message is killing people. Maybe you need to rethink it. But then the second day they got kicked out, although I haven't heard any corroboration from the SBC folks, but according to them, they got kicked out. They had billboards, they had traveling billboards. It was an amazing thing to see. And so the last line then of this psalm is, but I trusted in your steadfast love, my heart will rejoice in your salvation. When I see things like the Trevor Project and Faith in America and Trans Lifeline and churches hanging out at pride festivals and in parades, I can't help but say, my heart rejoices in your salvation, because we trust in God's steadfast love and we live it. And then our hearts rejoice. Sure, sometimes we get stuck in these how long, how long, how long. But when we feel that love and that acceptance, our hearts can't but not rejoice. So we are the solution to the lament. Our response is the solution to the laments. And so I want to come back to the hugs again. Because I got so many hugs yesterday. And a couple of them, they actually almost knocked me over. Clearly, I need to work on my bulk and stance. So much for that self-defense training. But there was no shame, ever. There was no fear, ever, in those hugs. And for me, when I used to not feel comfortable hugging anybody, that is salvation. Knowing that I can love and be loved, that is salvation. And so my heart rejoices in that salvation, because I trusted in God's steadfast love. How long? Indeed. Amen.